Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, this is Joshua David Stein, and you're listening to the Joshua David Stein Variety Hour Half Hour, a half-hour program devoted to talking about food in wild and weird ways, and there's a musical guest. This is our first show, and I think you might be wondering, well, who is Joshua David Stein? Well, who am I? I think the most germane part is that I am the restaurant critic for the New York Observer, and I write food erotica for Vice magazine, and I like to hear the sound of my voice, and I think that's the end of it. And I hope you enjoyed the sound of my voice as well. Today's show is dedicated to eggs and how much I love eggs. And it's occasioned by a review I wrote of a new restaurant in the Lower East Side called The Egg Shop. And it is devoted to eggs. Now, did I like The Egg Shop? I did like The Egg Shop, but I didn't love it. However, The Egg Shop loves eggs. So that's complicated right there. I'm going to read a little bit of the review, and then we'll get down to some egg issues. Set aside for a moment omelets, scrambles, and slithery poaches. Ignore the hard-boiled effors in their shapely holders. There would be no hollandaise without eggs, no muffins, no frescoes, no mork, and no Mindy. And yet the egg has never fully been properly thanked. No one has ever met an egg he didn't want to beat, boil, or break. Eggs are the unloved enablers of a million meals. And though one might be led to believe that the egg shop is an equal opportunity egg appreciation society, the adorations of its owners is limited to the egg sandwich. No sandwich deserves it more. Greeting the morning like a Kyrie eleison, the egg sandwich is a matutinal hymn. I don't even know how to pronounce half the words I write. And like any polyphony, its success depends on the harmony of its voices. In the ideal version, a salty bacon backbone gives form to the diffused warmth of the egg, and a mild cheese provides longevity to the mouthfeel. The roll is a delivery system and a mouth filler, but like Andy Richter, its most important assets are that it is doughy and inoffensive and knows when to scooch over on the couch. So I wasn't kidding about my loving egg sandwiches either. And a while back, I wrote some erotica about the egg sandwich, and I'll read you a little bit of it now. There are only four proper ingredients into a deli breakfast sandwich: a hard roll, eggs, cheese, and bacon. But each are sensory horsemen galloping toward a cardiac apocalypse. Pry apart the two halves and peer inside. It's like Courbet's L'Origine du Monde. Bacon labia enmeshed between doughy thighs of a hard roll. Glistening white, the egg appears like slick porcelain. That cheese goops and gleeps onto the roll, it gloms and grabs onto the bacon. The egg is a conscientious but filthy id that is even more perverse for wanting to be there, knowing this desire is wrong. So you grasp the roll for a better grip and bring the thing to the precipice of your lips. Squeeze it between your fingers, and as it spurts, just a little yolky cheese ejaculate. Ooh, that dribbles down the side of the roll. You bring the oozing, eggy, porky breakfast concoction to your mouth and take a ravenous bite. You are wallowing in your filthy delight. And all the stinking trash in the world, all the incinerating rays of the sun and last night's misdeeds can't and won't stir you from your bliss. So, the show is actually about the limits of love and how you love something. Because at Egg Shop, they profess to love egg sandwiches, which I think they really do. But the way that they express that love is through making fancy egg sandwiches. For instance, one of the egg sandwiches, the Egg Shop BEC, is made with a broken yolk, Shelburne Farms cheddar, Black Forest bacon, tomato jam, and fresh pickled jalapeno. And another one of the sandwiches is fish out of water, and it's a sandwich of smoked salmon, pickled egg, fresh dill, and caperberry mustard on rye. Now, in both of those cases, the condiments are so overpowering that the egg itself is lost. So even though it's nominally celebrating the egg and the egg sandwich is a thing of such delicate balance that the egg is overpowered. And an egg is so self-contained, it seems hard for me to understand how you would even punch up the flavor enough for the egg to compete with the other elements. But thankfully, we have an expert to turn to. Our first guest ever is Michael Ruhlman, the monstrously talented author of 21 books, including the seminal work The Making of a Chef, Ad Hoc at Home with the Thomas Keller, and the gleefully schmaltzy The Book of Schmaltz, a love song to a forgotten fat. His latest book by Little Brown is entitled simply Egg, a culinary exploration of the world's most versatile ingredient. Ruhlman, like me, is an egghead, a lover of eggs, a yolk slurper, a midnight scrambler, an advocate for the albumin. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
How's it going, man?
It's going great. How are you? Is this your first show?
It's my first show, but I sound real professional, right?
Wow, congrats.
I've got my slightly elegaic tone, you know?
You do. You've got that bedroom voice that the chicks are going to love.
You're listening to NPR. No, just kidding. You're not. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Let's talk about eggs. You have devoted hundreds of wonderful pages to the glory of the egg. Tell me how that humble, most humble and primal of foodstuffs, you know, aroused such passion in you.
Well, it was just sort of thinking about the egg. And, you know, I think about a lot of stuff in the kitchen, like water, like salt, because it's all around us, we don't really think about it that much. And I started thinking about the egg and all you could do with it. And I was so dizzy with the number of things you could do with it. I had to think about it logically. So I had to think about it. Well, you cook it in a shell or do you cook it out of the shell? If you cook it in a shell, you can cook it hard, soft, medium, sous vide. If you cook it out of the shell, you can cook it fried, baked, deep fried,
sauteed.
And then, you know, when you separate the egg, so the egg is a mind bender. And it should be. It's life itself. All the stuff needed to create life are contained within this lovely, elegant, delicate shell. It's beautiful to look at just on its own. There's just no end to the egg.
It's a circle. It's a circle of life, Michael.
It's an oval of life.
It's an oval of life.
An ova of life.
For the win. So I want to talk to you about the egg sandwich, specifically the breakfast egg sandwich, which I know you have a Saturday breakfast egg sandwich, I think, in the book.
I do.
But you live in Cleveland, famously, famously to me, and I don't know if you have the same thing there, but here you have this deli breakfast egg sandwich, which I talked a little bit about, with that kind of crappy cheese, the bacon, the egg, and the kind of fluffy.
Yeah, you're right on target there. With the egg gets completely lost, and that's wrong.
Yeah. So how does one go about? And you have some ideas in the book as an egg expert. How does one go about celebrating a thing that it's hard to alter that much? I mean, if you make the bacon super flavorful and you make the cheese super flavorful because you're making it fancy, right? And you make the bread super flavorful, then you have this poor egg, which is the thing that you purportedly love so much, being kind of lost in the shuffle.
The egg is never poor, first of all. The egg is bounty itself. I used to get egg sandwiches across from the New York Times when I was a copy boy there, and would bacon and eggs. You mentioned in your description a hard roll. Well, that's the first disaster there, is you pick a bread that's too hard, and then you have to really gnash your teeth to get through the bread, and you miss the egg, which is all about delicacy and elegance. So you have to understand what the egg is, what the egg means, and what the quintessential properties of the egg are, which are delicacy. and delicate flavor, elegant flavor, and so you need to heighten those. So first of all, I would lose the cheese in an egg sandwich completely.
No.
And I would make sure.
What? No.
What?
You're crazy. No.
Okay, so I'll give you some cheese.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Delicately, so not to overpower the egg.
Cheese me softly,
at the last
Michael.
Minute so that the heat of the egg melts the cheese.
Right. Not the heat of the grill. I think that's a good point. So it's a living sandwich.
Yeah, it's a living sandwich. You're right. The key is a soft roll or soft bread. I actually choose probably the worst bread for you, but it's, you know, just plain white sandwich bread from the grocery store, which is perhaps our civilization's downfall, but it makes for a good egg sandwich.
Right. It seems like it's like making a mix of music, right? And which I, you know, you have a book about ratios, and it's all about this balance. It's a little bit different, but it seems like the balance of an egg sandwich is you have to, given all the options, you have to refrain from pumping up the volume or the levels on the kind of the ensemble cast. The egg is the egg needs to be coddled a little.
Did you say the egg needs to be coddled?
I did, yes.
Well, not in the case of the egg sandwich. The egg must be delicately fried or sautéed.
Yeah.
Preferably in butter, which the egg loves. Again, it's all about textures and not, as you suggested, not losing the flavor of the egg. So I think minimal ingredients, very thin, shatteringly thin bacon, mm-hmm. A minimum of cheese, soft bread, and some good mayonnaise.
Yeah, I noticed that in your book, you laud Hellman's mayonnaise, which you say is the key condiment in a perfect egg sandwich.
It is indeed, and I argued this point with both Thomas Keller and Michel Richard of all folks. And Michel Richard shook his head with disgust at me when I said Hellman's was fine. And I looked at Thomas and I said, Thomas, for an egg sandwich on a Saturday afternoon, Hellman's is a good choice. And he nodded and then nodded at Michel. And I was right.
You can't get a higher endorsement for mayonnaise than that.
No, absolutely. But I knew my crowd. I knew my crowd.
And then just before you go, I mean, the book isn't, wonderfully, the book isn't so much about, and wonderfully about eggs. The book is, the egg is a star, but it's like a, I guess you would call it like a generous actor. You know, you hear about actors who are so generous on set and they bring out the best performance of the other, you know, the other cast members. And it seems to me like the egg is a little bit like that. You can use it in it's so easily incorporated and necessary in so many other cooking techniques.
It is indeed. I think you hit it. Generosity is the word, and that's what food and cooking is all about. And the egg is generosity itself. It gives itself over to so many dishes. It works as a tool in a béarnaise sauce, in a mayonnaise. It tops a Korean dip and bath. If you want it to star, it can be the feature as an omelet, embracing some morels and a creamy sauce or just cheese or just herbs. The egg is generosity itself. The egg is life itself. And when you consume it, you're life-consuming life. I love that.
Well, speaking of generosity, I want to thank you for your time, and it's lovely chatting with you, and I hope to break eggs with you sometime soon in the future.
Thank you so much.
Farewell.
You are listening to Still the Best by Hard Bodies. The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew W.K. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Hello, this is Joshua David Stein, and you're listening to the Joshua David Stein Variety Hour, half hour, on heritageradionetwork.org. If you miss a live broadcast, you can always find us archived on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes. My next guest is a man named Kyle Forrester, who is a musician in a band called Crystal Stilts, and he's also my best friend. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Josh. This is great news that I just received.
That you're on the radio or you're my best friend?
All of it.
Yeah, you're both. Where are you?
I am in Boulder, Colorado.
What are you doing there?
I am visiting my girlfriend's family and relaxing and enjoying the mountain air.
So you're driving across country in your parents' Saab.
That's true. My parents' 1995 Saab is being delivered to Sonoma County, California, where my sister, who just gave birth to twins, will house it.
Well, congratulations. This is a food show. I don't know if you know, but the food is part of it. What have you eaten on your trip so far?
Ooh. I mean,
your girlfriend's
whole trip?
A vegan? Is Erica a vegan?
No. I would say she's a, you know, she's not a heavy carnivore.
Oh.
But I'm trying to think of some of our more memorable meals. We ate at a very nice sort of breakfast diner in Omaha, Nebraska, called Lisa's Radial Cafe.
Radial?
Radial. Radial is the name of a street in Omaha.
Oh, it's a nice name. What'd you have?
I had the vegetarian omelet.
That doesn't sound very regional. Veggie omelet's not a regional Nebraska specialty, is it?
It was special there in Nebraska that day, so I guess that makes it. We also ate at a fancy donut place in Chicago called Glazed and Infused. Glazed and Infused.
I can't tell if I like that name or hate it, but I think I probably hate that name. How were the donuts?
It was really, really exceptional donuts.
Tell me about your donut, Kyle.
Oh, well, we shared four of them. Actually with our mutual friend Mickey.
Oh, Mickey? Mickey? Okay, great. Yeah.
We picked him up at work on his lunch hour and took him to the donut place. We got four donuts. I would say that Mickey had three quarters of one, Erica had half of one, and whatever the four minus three quarters plus one half equals is
what
I had.
Let's do that. Four minus three. we'll do that later. Kyle, I'm excited to welcome you to the first Joshua David Stein Variety Hour, half hour, and I wanted to thank you as well for that theme song which you wrote and recorded.
Oh.
And you also have another musical treat for us. Why don't you tell me a little bit about this song?
Are we speaking of Grilled Octopus?
We are indeed speaking of Grilled Octopus.
Well, this song, Grilled Octopus, was sung to me on my voicemail
by
our host Joshua David Stein.
Oh, great!
It describes a grilled octopus that he ate. The voicemail was pretty clear with the musical information, and I arranged/composed the song around the voicemail.
That's
and. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Now it's time for a musical guest who's gonna sing a song or two. Grilled octopus, I ate you Monday and I still taste your char today. Where were you caught and how did they cook you? Take a good look. Look, you say, yo, whoa, I was pulverized by a bunch of guys. I was boiled with a cork, poked with a fork, and braised for 2 days. I was braised for 2 days. Oh, whoa, 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 grilled octopus. You're special, I know, but you'll also be a special tomorrow. You taste real good, there's char and crunch. I'll eat you tomorrow for my lunch. So I was caught off the coast of Spain, and I was brought here by boat and train. I was beaten by a stone, left to be alone, then braised for 2 days. I was braised for 2 days. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Octopus, tell me more, tell me all about your worm. I'm curious and I wanna know all about your tale of woe. You say, my only friends are roast potatoes, my only friend is a pimento. They say I've got 8 tentacles, but we all die alone. I am the charred octopus, I am the grilled octopus. Sono popo alla griglia, yo soy polpo alla brasa. And I'll be a special tonight, I'll be a special tonight. I'll be your special. Was just a musical guest who came and sang a song or two.
Kyle, that was beautiful. I've never heard my work done justice so well.
Oh, well, thank you, Josh.
I like that little Mediterranean flourish at the end. I think it goes well with octopus.
Yeah, I was going for the, well, there's the, you know, the Spanish influence was the idea.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. So you are a professional musician. And I wonder what your thoughts are about songs about food, other than the masterpiece we just heard. What are your favorite songs about food?
Ooh, well, I'd like the audience to know that I was not prepared for the questions in this interview, so the sound of me thinking of answers is real.
The sound of you thinking for answers is beautiful.
You know, the first one that's coming to mind is there was like an old jazz number that I know Cab Calloway did a version of called Everybody Eats When They Come to My House.
Is that a metaphor for sex?
That song I don't think is a metaphor, but that brings to mind another old jazz song that is a metaphor called But Lord Ain't the what is it? But Lord Ain't the Gravy Good. Which is a metaphor.
What's a gravy? What part of the body is a gravy?
You'll have to check it out. Oh. I think it's about, I don't know, it's about the perks of being in this particular relationship.
And so you have another song for us, too, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to play it, but it's Abandoned Luncheonette. The reason, you know, there's some licensing issues, I guess, going on. We might still play it, but tell me about this song, which we had talked about. It's a song by Hall & Oates, and for me, it is the ultimate food song. Because
really?
It really is, because, you know, I write more about restaurants than I do about the actual food, and the song tells a story of a couple growing old in their decaying diner, restaurant. You know what? Hey, Jack, let's play it. We're going to play it, and this is Kyle Forrester performing Hall & Oates' Abandoned Luncheonette. Let's take a listen.
She was 20 when the diner was a baby.
That's my favorite line. What's going on here, Kyle?
What's going on?
Yeah.
Day to day. Day to day. When they were old, their lives wasted away. Month to month, year to year. We all run together.
That's the second best line.
Sign on the door. This way out, that's all it read.
Good scatting.
That's all it said.
This is Kyle as Hall and Oates.
Day to day,
day to day. Kyle, that was really beautiful. That was a beautiful rendition of a beautiful song. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Joshua.
Have a good journey for the rest of your trip.
I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your program.
Thank you.
That was just a musical guest who came and sang a song or two.
This is Joshua David Stein. You have been listening to the Joshua David Stein Variety Hour Half Hour on heritageradionetwork.org. If you miss this live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.